welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. We're back here for baseball Friday, March 29th. Hopefully everyone had a good opening day. We had two games, of course, that were pushed here to Friday's slate, which if you're a fan of those four teams, maybe a little bit of literal rain on your parade. But I kind of like it. We get two afternoon games on Friday, so we'll see if we can have another profitable Friday here. You know, if you've been with us for a while here, and I kind of talked about it yesterday, we take a big picture view here. We're not going to get too wrapped up in all the nitty gritty. We had a lot of things go right for us here on the first day, had a few things go wrong for us as well. It's going to be kind of the way it is. And I don't want to get too distracted by that. I just want to continue to focus on the long-term process, and we'll continue to talk about the things that good prices and shopping around and those key ideas that help make us good long-term profitable bettors. So that's just going to get your framing as we move forward on this. But as a reminder, if you have not yet, check us out on Dub Club. You can scan that QR code there. It'll take you right to it. You can look at the link in the show description and get you a 10-day free trial to start you out. More picks, first five run lines. For now, totals might actually kind of live over there a little bit more. Having a little bit of an issue getting weather information automated into the system this season. Hopefully that gets fixed, but you never really know what's going to happen. So we'll see how that goes. We're kind of staying away from overnight totals, at least for now. And that's not the craziest hit anyway, to wait till the morning anyway to get a better picture on the weather, especially for your open air games here in late March, April, for various different reasons than the reasons why you want to be sure about the weather come July. In August, which is back to the same reason now at the beginning here at the end of the year for the cooler weather. So there's a lot of good information there that the weather can provide us to help us with totals and all that information, summaries, all sorts of goodies over there on Dub Club, including access to our Discord chat. We have a lot of fun. Check that out yet. If nothing else, we do appreciate your support there. This is what I do almost 24/7. I wake up and I do this. I do this in the middle of the day. I do this at night, so y'all are helping support me and my family, and I'm helping spend a lot of the time, hopefully helping you be a successful better, and so hopefully that's working out for you. But appreciate everyone who's over there with us on Dub Club. Special shout-out to all y'all, hopefully, again, we can have a good Friday here, as it seemed like it's been a pretty decent Thursday, at least so far. We'll start off Friday with the Brewers and the Mets. This will be Freddy Peralta and Jose Quintana. It'll feel weird with the Brewers not having Corbin Burns out there or even Brandon Woodruff out there to start them off, but it'll be Freddy Peralta instead, who gets an 80 grade according to the model. So still a very good pitcher. Of course, the Brewers pitching depth, you know, is taking a bit of a hit here this offseason from years past when you lose a guy like Corbin Burns. Jose Quintana for the Mets. I mean, the Mets pitching staff's a little bit tougher. You know, they'll be looking for a bounce back here from a guy like Luis Severino. I got a couple guys who've had some hit or miss spots like McGill. Quintana still kind of hanging around at average. Might be a long year for the Mets. It's not that they're bad. They're just not great. You can see they're on screen. Bullpen slightly below average, top guys a little bit below average. It's because they don't really have a lot beyond Edwin Diaz. Of course, Diaz is fantastic, but other than him, they don't really have a lot of great arms. The Brewers better at the bullpen even without Devin Williams. They still have a very strong bullpen. But offensively, the Brewers still have the same problem they've had for years, it seems like. The one year that they looked a little bit stronger there towards the end of the regular season was I guess they acquired Willie Adames, and he looked really good, kind of sparked them offensively. But other than that half season, you know, they haven't been great offensively. You can see that here on screen with that rating. So this is a game where there's definitely flaws in all of these teams. But we're going to back the Brewers at minus 105. B-grade pick. Sideline says the Brewers win this 54% of the time, and the price should be minus 119. Minus 103 is the A-grade price, so we're right there. And again, as always, shop around, and if you could find that A-grade price, we don't recommend putting, doubling your units on the A-grade. We're really just recommending like an extra quarter of a unit to half a unit at most in those A-grades. But we do want a little bit more of those eggs in that basket. And as you see on the outro slides, as a reminder, why we're so price sensitive is because the Brewers are going to win this game, whatever percentage of time they're going to win it. Sideline says 54%. Maybe that's not right. Maybe it's, you know, 52%. Maybe it's 56%. We don't really know. But the idea is if we take a bunch of games like this and we're betting them at minus 115 versus minus 105 versus plus 105, we're going to win the same number of them. but we're going to lose a lot less, win a lot more at the better price. So that's why the price really matters. That's why we're always talking about price sensitivity. It's one of the key things in baseball here. -105 is not a bad pick for the Brewers here. They are on the road, but they will have an edge most of the game here on the mound. The only exception that would be if the Mets do happen to have a lead in the ninth inning, of course. That's why, you know, the Brewers aren't 60-some-odd% to win like we saw in the opening night. Some of these opening days, some of the teams were much higher probabilities winning. A couple of those teams kicking tail right now because we said there's a good chance it's a runaway. This projects to be a little bit of a closer game, but you get the better pitcher and the better bullpen with the Brewers. You're going to back them at a price like -105. But again, as always, make sure you shop around. If you can get closer to even money, you're looking at an A grade. If you haven't checked them out yet, BetUS is a place to add to your repertoire. 125% bonus on your first three ever deposits.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
We'll continue with the other afternoon game here. Braves and the Phillies, 3 p.m. Eastern. As someone who rosters Zach Wheeler in our dynasty league that, you know, our friend Jake is in with me as well, it's always a pain when he comes up because the model loves Zach Wheeler. That is a very nice 69 grade that he gets. And for whatever reason, we don't tend to back him very often. And I think that's partially because the market, according to the sideline, tends to overvalue him and thinks he's even better than that. It's tough to say how could he be much better than that? Like, that's about as good as pitchers get until you get to Jacob DeGrom territory. But oh my goodness, Spencer Strider is in Jacob DeGrom territory. I could not believe it when I ran the projections for this season, but Spencer Strider just passes with flying colors. That 57 grade again, we are talking about Jacob DeGrom and Jacob DeGrom only territory here for the last several many years. The great pitchers land in the upper 60s. You don't see pitchers in this ballpark. Spencer Strider is a special pitcher. And so we're going to back the Braves at -122. A grade pick, -123 or better is the A grade price. So we just eke in to that A grade value here. But the model says the Braves win 59% of the time. That price would be -142. Their offense stacks up to be incredible, just like last year. Their relievers look to be incredible as well. It's hard to find any complaints with this team. They look absolutely fantastic, especially when you're throwing Strider out there. They've got a couple of other pretty good pitchers as well. But with Strider, who's right now the best pitcher in baseball, that offense, which is one of the best offenses in baseball, and this set of relievers, which might be the set of relievers from top to bottom that's the best in baseball, you have to be excited if you're a Braves fan. They're on the road, and they're facing a really good pitcher in Zach Wheeler. And so that's a reason why we don't necessarily want to play this any higher. But some of you might say, you know, hey, getting Zach Wheeler at plus odds is something you're not going to get often at home. And I would agree with that. You're not going to get that very often. But the counter to that is you're not going to be able to back Spencer Strider at -122 maybe ever again this season. This might be the best price we literally get all season because, you know, this game's played at home and the price is higher on the Braves. And I can't find many scenarios the Braves are going to have where it will match up worse for them than at Philadelphia against Wheeler. The Dodgers are the exception to that, assuming the Dodgers have a good pitcher going that night. And right now the Dodgers don't seem to have a healthy arm or two, you know, on their whole rotation. So there's just not many cases. There's probably another one that I'm not thinking of, you know, maybe, you know, the Astros, if they happen to play at Houston against Fromber or something. But I mean, there's just not many scenarios you're going to have where you're going to be able to get Spencer Strider at -122. You're going to be, and if you remember last year, there were a lot of times where he's in the -200s. There's times he's in the -300s. So yeah, fading Zach Wheeler at home is never a fun thing. And again, I'm starting him in my dynasty league because he's a great pitcher. I think he'll provide great numbers. It's just, you got to like Spencer Strider more. You got to like this Braves offense more. You got to like the Braves bullpen more. In fact, this is only -122 is why this is good value. We don't know who's going to win this game. The Phillies could win this game. Absolutely anything can happen in sports. And it wouldn't be the crazy subset of the Phillies win. The model says they win 41% of the time, and 41% of the time things should happen roughly 4 out of 10 times. But if this happens 6 out of 10 times that the Braves win, -122 is a long-term profitable play. That's why we have it as an A grade. So the night game's here, 6:50 p.m. Eastern. Blue Jays and the Rays. One of the few A grades that didn't work out for us here on opening day. Zach Eflin looked great and then just completely combusted in the whatever that was, the fifth inning, I don't know, fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever it was, that he just completely fell apart in. And that was unfortunate for them. This game sets up to be very even. Chris Bassitt and Aaron Civale both project out to be very similar on a rate basis. Bassitt gets the edge, according to Sideline, a slightly better grade because he projects to go a little bit deeper into games on average, get you an extra few outs. And that's always valuable to get those extra outs and prevent the relievers from pitching, because relievers, by definition, even though they're going harder, are usually slightly weaker pitchers than your starters. So that extra little bit of length helps, allows the manager to have more flexibility with the bullpen, et cetera. So very slight edge to Bassitt, but not by much. Very slight edge to the Rays pen, but not by much. Offensively, these two teams are very similar. This is a very just straight up even game. The Rays really getting the only benefit here with regards to the shifting off of 50-50 for two reasons. One, a small bit because this game's, of course, in Tampa Bay, so they're the home team, and that gives them a little bit, you know, gets them probably about 50 to 52, maybe up to 53 at most. And then they're getting a slightly little bit of an edge because the model is, it's a little complex. It's not so complex I can't explain it. I'm a big believer, especially as someone who has a degree in mathematical statistics, I'm not a big believer in some of these complicated AI systems and machine learning things that we can't understand and explain what they're doing because we don't know how backfit it is. We don't know how well it's going to perform in the future predictive. And so every model I build, everything is built based off of the way the game plays out and trying to build from the ground up how games work. So it's simple, but it's complex in how it's built and how it comes up with the player projections, et cetera. But one of the things the model does is you see the grade difference there between Chris Bassitt and Aaron Civale. That is not represented very much in the probability of these teams winning, because where that would matter more is if the Rays bullpen was not so strong. So the model looks at this, and it's not literally doing this, and it's because the model doesn't have eyes, right? But the model is more or less not penalizing the Rays and Civale specifically for a shorter projected start because they've got a lot of good bullpen arms. If you put a weaker bullpen in there, the fact that Civale is projected to go a bit shorter in the game would be a bigger benefit to the Blue Jays, that Bassitt being a better pitcher can go deeper. But the model looking at this saying, Bassitt can go a little bit longer, but the Jays relievers, they're not bad behind him anyway. Civale might go one inning less on average. The Rays relievers are fine. So it's not really much of a difference. And so the biggest difference here is that the, Bakken gives a slight, maybe 1% bump to the Rays. And then the fact that the Rays are slightly better against right-handed pitching gives them maybe 0.5% bump, and like 2.5 for home field or something. We're more or less how you're getting from 50 to 54% here. So we lean the Rays. Here's the issue, is that would equate to a price of -118, and the current price right now on the Rays is -116. So that would be a very weak C-grade pick, as we'd only have 2 cents of value. I would be, the Orioles were in that boat yesterday. And I said, hey, I love the Orioles here. I love the fact that, you got Corbin Burns going on opening day and better relievers and all these advantages. And this Orioles team has just been a great team to back, So I love them, even though the edge wasn't that big. This one, I'm not saying I wouldn't play the Rays here. I think the model is probably going to pick the Rays a little bit fairly often. And so I'm not really sure this is our best price here. I'd kind of like a little bit of a better price. I'd like to get a little bit deeper in the season. And have a better feel. I watch a lot of baseball, I know baseball pretty well, and just see how these teams are playing out, see how these how the foreign pitchers are in. And so I just don't think I know enough, right now to feel confident playing what amounts to be a C grade on the race. So right now, no pick on this game. We'll see what the first five market has tomorrow. We'll see what the overnight line movement does. See if there's anything more valuable come morning time. We might have an official pick on this game. Then, of course, it'll be available to everybody on Dub Club. But for right now, this price isn't screaming at me. This is something that we want to invest in. The Rays should be favored by a little bit. They are favored by a little bit. And so that makes it, at least for right now, for me, a pass. Not going to be a pass for me here on this next game, though. The only other 7 p.m. game, so there's two 7 p.m. games here on the slate. Pirates and the Marlins. We're going to be the Marlins here at minus 125, an A-grade pick. Marlins couldn't quite hang on opening day. Both of these bullpens now going to be a little bit more taxed, but they still have a lot of great arms here. We're going to be in the Marlins, specifically backing AJ Puck against Martin Perez. This is really all about that. The Pirates offense is probably a little bit better than the Marlins. Marlins bullpen might be a tiny bit better. It's probably rounding error. The game's in Miami. All that balances out. It's all 50-50. The main edge is the model. I mean, personally, I'm not a big fan of Martin Perez. I don't think he's a very good pitcher. I think he's a soft throw lefty that had a great season a couple years ago. But the underlying metrics the entire time foretold a story of regression and bad things to come for him. And sure enough, that's happened. Whereas AJ Puck worked as a reliever mostly, projects to do fairly well as a starter. I'm pretty high on him relative to a lot of times guys are relievers. They come up to be starters or something, and they're just very mediocre. You can see that 91 grade there. We think he's got a chance to be an above average starter. The Marlins clearly think so, as having him start their second game of the season. Now, you could make the case that he's starting the second game of the season because of a couple of the injuries they've got and some uncertainty with everything else. But the fact that he kind of rose to that level here to be their second day starter says they have a little bit of faith in him too. So I think this is a massive pitching mismatch here. If you want to take the first five market instead, that's something you can look at. Don't know what that price is right now, as that market hasn't been established as of the time of this recording. So we'll see in the morning. That might be another way to look. So before you make this play, if you like first five markets, keep that in mind. You may want to split your wager between there, or you may just make the full game play. And then if that's a good price, maybe add a half unit or something like that, or half your bet size, something like that, is a way to look. Maybe the first five price won't be very good. So we'll see in the morning. And all that update comes to Dub Club. But in general, all about the pitching mismatch here in Miami as well. We're back in the Marlins. Minus 125 A grade. Model says the price should be minus 157. And the A grade price is 136 or better. Again, all of that information is available on Dub Club. What the A grade price is, with the B grade price for money line, run line, reverse run line, first five money line, first five run line, first five reverse run line. All that information for every single game available over on Dub Club. Yankees and the A's. 8:10 p.m. Eastern. This will be the Apple TV game of the Friday night, as we'll continue to do that. Had the over as an A-grade pick for our people on Dub Club. That was a winner at the whatever fifth, sixth inning, whatever that happened to be, 4-4, because that was guaranteed to get us to 9, which is exactly where it landed. A game where both teams had plenty of opportunities to score runs, including in the ninth when the Astros had a guy thrown out at home by a fraction. I'm not sure he was tagged. I couldn't see if he wasn't, but it was definitely a really close play there. And the Yankees had tons of chances as well, as Fromber got out of a bunch of jams with the double play ball. That's part of what Fromber does. So part of that isn't luck. Part of that is Fromber gets ground balls. And part of what makes him great is the fact that when he does get guys on, he can get those outs. That being said, putting your hopper people, he struggled way more than I thought he would. Really thought last year at the end, as he struggled, that was a little bit of wear and tear, a little bit of fatigue from what happened at the beginning of the season, pitching the All-Star game, et cetera, whatever all that was. And he came out and looked here on opening day, just like last year. So put that in your hopper when he comes around next time. Yankees offense is really good, but they could have put up like 10 on him, it seemed like. So that's something we'll have our eye on early on to see if we want to kind of pivot from some of these guys real early on. So split this one, got the over, missed the Astros. Here today on this one, our official free show pick is the over 9. It's an A-grade pick. Why do we like this? Number one, as we talked about yesterday, these offenses are fantastic. The Astros will be facing another lefty, and they are great against left-handed pitching. As we saw them jumping all over Nestor Cortez, they could have gotten more than they did as well. Unfortunately, they weren't able to do that. But against a guy like Carlos Rodon, who I have no idea what to make of, they could put up a bunch of runs. And they're throwing a guy in Christian Javier who – a guy I have no idea what to make of. So we like this over simply because there's a couple different ways we can get to the window with this one. Number one, if the Astros get to Rodon as a lefty and Rodon looks like he did last year, they might put up 9 runs. Javier has at times, especially last year, struggled, look real questionable, give up a lot of runs. That's why his rating got down to a one. It's now down to a 102. I mean, this was a good time when he was in the 80s for his rating. And this Yankees offense could put up 9 runs on him too. Both those things could happen. This over could hit by the third inning. There's no locks in gambling. This pick could lose because Rodon has the pedigree and the history. Javier has the history, especially against the Yankees, of pitching very well. Here's the thing about Javier and the history with the Yankees. Half of those guys aren't on this team anymore, right? Some of those guys that he's had success against in the past. Obviously, you've added a guy like Soto, who's a new player right there as well. And of course, one of the best hitters on the Yankees team. So a lot of uncertainty with these pitchers. The Astros used all their good arms here on opening day. So that bullpen rating does get an 85. Everyone's fresh from the start of the season. I'm not trying to imply that you know, the guys are tired at this point. I'm just saying they all got used yesterday, and early on in the season, how quick can you bounce back on that one day? I don't really know. I'm just saying there's a lot of question marks with pitchers on all the sides with really good offenses and a park in Houston that it can see plenty of runs. It obviously can play pitcher friendly at times, but it can play very hitter friendly at times too. So a great recipe for runs. We love the push protection. I would not be going over 9.5 because 9 is very possible just as 9 happened on opening day, but the model there says an average of 9.8 runs, so over 9 is a fantastic value. A grade pick, and we don't have to lay much juice right now at -112, which is also good. So love this over here. Not one I'm messing with full game, first five. I want the full game because there's a possibility we get the bullpens early, and that means there's going to be some rough guys pitching at some point in the game. So it could be runs early, could be runs late, could be runs all over the place. And it could be no runs because, again, no locks in gambling. And these pitchers both can pitch. So I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. This is not run and put your 401k on this. But this is just saying the fact that if the Astros get to Rodon, which is very possible, we got a great shot at the over. If the Yankees get to Javier, which is very possible, we got a great shot at the over. If both happen, the over is going to hit by like the fifth inning. So we'll hope for that one, of course, and go over 9 in Yankees and Astros. So the late games here, Rockies and Diamondbacks, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. A bunch of late games here. There's, I believe, 5 games being started in this roughly 10 o'clock Eastern time slot. The Diamondbacks, last I checked here, were absolutely laying in the Rockies. They'd already put up like a 10 spot in the third inning or something. And that's the thing with the Rockies is they're very bad. We've talked about that. Might be one of the worst teams of baseball. And they don't have a lot of great relievers. You can see that on screen, being a full standard deviation below league average. They're going to start another below average pitcher in Cal Quantrill, who benefited from playing in Cleveland, which is a fairly pitcher-friendly ballpark, gets a lot of fairly pitcher-friendly weather being up there. And not that the Guardians have the best offense in the world necessarily, but they have provided him some run support in the past. It'll be a different story here. This Rockies offense is terrible. I said all these things yesterday. I don't know what else to say. We're going to go to the same play we did yesterday, Diamondbacks -1. The implied odds on this one's -164. And that's, again, the way you make this market, if you do not have a -1, is you bet to win a certain dollar amount on the money line, and then you risk that amount on the run line. That creates the -1 market for you, because if they win by one, you will win one bet and lose one bet, and they will exactly cancel out. If they win by more than one, as the Diamondbacks look like they're going to do tonight, you win both, and you win both of those dollar amounts. And, of course, if they lose the game, then you lose both. That's how betting works, right? But that's what we're going to do here, is play this -1, just in case it's a closer game. As always, you could be a little more risky, better odds on the run line, but the possibility of a one-run game does exist. This Rockies team is bad. They're going to lose a lot of games. They're going to win a few games. Sideline says 30% likely to win this one. So, again, no locks in gambling. The reason this is only a C grade is -164 is still relatively steep odds for a -1 bet with a Diamondbacks team that I think is very decent, but is just solid on offense, slightly below average at bullpen, and Merrill Kelly, who is the model doesn't love. Now, Merrill Kelly at home has traditionally been a great pitcher to back. And so that's why, even though this is a C grade, I'm on it. As opposed to the Rays, which were a C grade earlier, but I was like, you know what? I'm not dying to play this right now. I'm holding off. It's not my favorite pick at the moment. let's see what else we have. I'm not running to do this. Let's see if the number gets better. Let's see if something changes for us, because I just want that, you know, a little bit better value, because I have a slightly less good feel about that. Merrill Kelly at home, C grade, I'm down. Let's do it. That doesn't mean we're putting, you know, all of our money on it, but it means that this Rockies team isn't good, and I'm going to trust Merrill Kelly at home. So we're back to Diamondbacks at -1, even though it's -164 odds and a C grade pick. Giants and the Padres, we gave out a free pick on Twitter there, the first five under that cashed. We'll be doing that on a daily basis, so make sure you check that out. If you're with us on Dub Club, you'll get that information as well, so you don't even have to do that. But if nothing else, even if you don't have a Twitter account, you can go to Twitter and see my profile. Just keep that in your favorites there, and you can see all the latest tweets. But again, if you don't want to have to do that, Dub Club is a great way to just get all that information. So cash that first five under, which was good. Was unable to cash the full game under. Did not really suspect the Giants bullpen of collapsing quite like they did, but sure enough, they did. I'm not going to overreact to the one game. I still think this Giants bullpen is much better than the Padres bullpen. I'm still worried about the Padres bullpen imploding. And so we're going with the Giants here at +137, our biggest dog I think that we've taken on the season so far. A great pick, as the model says the Giants win this 47% of the time. So the Giants are more likely to lose than win, but only barely. This is very close to a coin toss, and +137 is fantastic odds for what's a coin toss type game. The Padres will have the edge starting pitcher with Joe Musgrove against Kyle Harrison. But here's the thing. Kyle Harrison's a young pitcher. He's got some upside. Don't really know a ton of where he's going to go. Got some variability. Joe Musgrove looked disastrous in his first start. There are concerns about, is he still injured? Is there some injury situation with that, with how he looked? He's kind of struggled with a little bit of that in the past. There's a possibility the Giants are the better starting pitcher tomorrow. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying it's on the table, because there's just a lot of questions around both of these guys, and it could go either way. That's why we like the plus odds. Offensively, I still am not a huge believer in the Padres offense. I still think they're very top heavy. They just have a few hitters, and it gets really scary once you get down towards the bottom. They do project to hit better against the lefty. They are a very right-handed heavy team, so that is working in their benefit. That's helped them out now that they've more or less from last year kind of replaced Juan Soto with Fernando Tatis, gone from a lefty to a righty there. But you know, once Kyle Harrison departs, then you're back to righties, and that Padres offense is just average again. I'm trusting the Giants bullpen here. Games in San Diego, of course, don't know who's going to win. Bottom line, I think, is a coin toss to the Giants at +137. Makes way too much sense to pass up. So A grade pick for us there. Guardians at the A's. As of right now, last I saw, the Guardians had a nice little lead. 6-0, I think, over the A's. Here's the thing about the A's. I don't think they're the worst team in baseball. That's probably the Nationals, Rockies, maybe the White Sox. The A's may sell everybody, trade everybody, and become the worst team in baseball. But as of right now, this A's roster is kind of like a 65-ish win roster. That's terrible, obviously. But they're not the worst team in baseball. That being said, they're not good. And 65 wins works out to winning about 40% of the time, which means that the average moneyline price we need to back the A's is +150. That's your break-even number. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't play the A's at less than +150, because if your average win price needs to be +150, you can win some below and above. Or if you just magically figure out which ones are going to win, doesn't really matter the price. But that's not what we're talking about, because no one has that ability, right? Where I'm going with this is, that's my benchmark for the A's, is +150. And unless I get a favorable situation, one that I like, I'm not going to play the A's unless it's +150 or better. Against Shane Bieber here opening night, they're like +130 or something like that. And they may have a comeback in them. I don't know. But a plus 130, plus 135 or whatever. I know they're home, but against Shane Bieber, like they don't really have much of a home crowd at this point because the owners kind of screwed the whole city over. So the city's kind of done with them, which I don't blame them. Against one of the better pitchers in baseball, and Shane Bieber, you got to be kidding me. Like, there's no way I'm taking the A's at plus 130, lower than my benchmark, if they're going up against the White Sox, you know, that sort of team. Or if they have a situation, like, I don't know if we'll get there, but a guy like Paul Blackburn last year who was looking really good, you know. Otherwise, I want to play the A's at, like, you know, plus 190 when they might win 38% of the time or something. But I need really good prices because I know we're going to lose a lot of them. So I need that really good price so that when we win, it helps us, right? So all that to say here, I'm looking at this game. Guardians and A's model says it should be Guardians minus 139. I'm going to play the Guardians at minus 135. Because I know we're going to back the A's a lot at bad prices. And so if we get a reasonable price, I'm going to fade the A's because they are not a good baseball team. Minus 135, C grade pick. If you can get minus 130, that gets you to a B grade. But the Guardians will again have the better pitcher in Logan Allen against Ross Stripling. And my, you know, Logan Allen is nothing special at this point, very average. Still has some potential growth as an upside guy. Might have a great season, don't really know. But Ross Stripling is very similar to Alex Wood, and they've both kind of journeyed around on some of the same teams here, of course, recently. But they're both at this point, we kind of know what they are. They're kind of past their peak. They both can have some good outings. They both can have some good stretches, but they both can also be guys who struggle to get out of the fourth inning. And I just don't see him having a, you know, a good six-inning start. And that's what they're going to need because the A's bullpen is not as bad as it could be, but it's still not good. And so it's like, it just seems hard. How do you find nine good innings? Now, what the A's have going for them, and this is why this part of the reason why it's only C grade, keep that in mind. The A's back in guys are not bad. You see 107 there on screen. They're not terrible. And when the A's have a lead, they empty out all of those good pitchers. Even if they're close, if they're tied, they empty out all the good pitchers. Even down one, they empty out all the good pitchers because they don't have a lot of games where they aren't. So that's kind of the caveat here is the A's relievers kind of like, they kind of throw their bad ones when they're struggling and they hold their good ones for a close game, which makes them have a little bit more upside in their close type games. The issue is early on in the season, I would feel more confident with Ross Stripling and Alex Wood tandem pitching the same game. Cause I'm like, I could get three innings out of both those guys, get six innings. Now go to my better pitchers. I can get nine innings. But I look at this and I'm like, first start of the season, guys aren't stretched out very long. Stripling's never been a guy to go deep. Someone's going to give up a bunch of runs somewhere are the odds. So minus 135 is the pick on the Guardians, only a C grade. I'd like a better price because the Guardians offense isn't that good. Logan Allen has some question marks and this A's offense isn't terrible. So I'm not, you know, loving playing a steep price. We have to be very price sensitive. Again, there are 2,000 baseball games, and we're talking about totals and signs and first fives and everything. You know, 5 cents on every single game is going to really add up. So we have to be price sensitive. We have to shop around. We have to find the best prices. And so I don't want to play this at minus 150. But minus 135, worth a pick on the Guardians, even up to minus 140. I think that's about as high as I would go, though, backing them at Oakland. Boston and Seattle, we are holding on right now to 7 runs in this game and under 7.5 for opening night. I don't know if it'll last. We still got a couple innings to go, so you'll obviously know by the time you watch this. But we're going to go back to the well and try another under 7.5 in this one. Only a C grade this time, but Nick Pivetta, George Kirby. Pivetta is an average pitcher. Kirby is an above average pitcher against average offenses, good enough bullpens, and a pitcher-friendly ballpark on what's expected to be a cold night or a routine night for this time of year. It just 7 just seems like the most likely outcome. And so we're going to go under 7.5, but it's only a C grade because it's not like we're projecting, you know, 6.5 runs or 6 point whatever runs such that we say like, yeah, 3 and 4 and 5 are like, I mean, there probably will be some runs in this game because these offenses aren't terrible. The Red Sox have a couple of meh relievers. Pivetta's not great, right? There will definitely be some runs in this game. But given that part, given the weather, given you got a guy like George Kirby on the mound, 7 is the most likely outcome. And so with 7 being the most likely outcome, I think under 7.5 makes some sense here. So C grade pick, not the best value in the world, but definitely one I think is worth our play here on Friday night. Which wrap us up with the Cardinals and Dodgers. And, you know, I'm going to play this. I'm going to play it. because I'm gonna trust the hashtag process. But this is the terrifying A grade play of the day. Cardinals plus 202 is an A grade. Why is it an A grade? Because the model says the Cardinals win 38% of the time. That's not a lot. Okay, we can all agree 38% is not a lot. It's about 3 out of 8. So they play this exact game with these pitchers 8 times. Bobby Miller's a better pitcher than Zach Thompson, and the Dodgers win 5 of them. If you win 5 out of 8 games, I don't know if people realize this, but that's really good, right? 5 divided by 8 times 160, that's 101 wins. So I'm saying the Dodgers are a 100-win pace team against the Cardinals. Now, they're at home, but against the Cardinals, who the Cardinals have a good offense and a good set of relievers. That's impressive. That's what the model says. This is priced as if the Dodgers are a 120-win team or something like that, which if they were playing the A's, yeah, they'd win 120 at 162. But the Cardinals have a good offense. They didn't show it on opening day, but they have a decent enough offense, got a decent enough set of relievers. Like, the Cardinals might win this game. So we don't recommend risking much on these big dogs, and that's why we have the scaling where we have the A grades and the B grades and C grades add up to a certain number of units. Because on this one, we're risking about one unit. So it's an A grade, but we're only risking one unit. Whereas an A grade, around even money, we're risking a unit and a half. An A grade favorite, we're risking maybe up to 2 units, right? So we're not putting a ton of our bankroll on this. We're just kind of sprinkling a little bit on the Cardinals, just saying, hey, let's take a chance at this price. There's a couple different ways you can play this. Number one, you can also play this. You can play this like I'm talking about, which is just sprinkling a little on the Cardinals and saying, the Dodgers are not going to go 162-0. They've already lost a game, so they're not going to go 161-1, right? They're going to lose some games. And, you know, are they going to win 101 games? Probably. Would they win 101 games if they were playing all of them against a team like the Cardinals? Probably not. Okay. And again, this is priced as if they're going to win like 120. So at some point, fading the Dodgers makes sense. So you can join me in that prospect. Or the other way I think you can look at this is just say, it's telling me to pass. Say, I don't like the Cardinals here. I don't like Zach Thompson. I don't think he's a great pitcher. I mean, nothing against him personally. I just don't think he's a great pitcher. Again, better than me, right? Caveat. I think if his friends or family are listening, you know, he's a very good pitcher for most of the population. But, you know, unfortunately for him, relative to the fact that he's being compared to the best athletes in the world, right? There are a lot of better pitchers out there than him. And so you can look at this, say, this Dodgers offense is really good. I don't want to fade them. Well, then the model's just telling you just stay away from this game, that you are paying way too much of a price on the Dodgers. And so people will say, well, what about playing the Dodgers -1.5? You're still going to be paying way too much of a price. All those derivative markets are all based off of this number. Now, they're based off of this number and the total, at least my model does, and that a lower scoring game is more likely a one scoring game and stuff like that. But this is the crux of it. If they're overpriced on the money line, they're overpriced everywhere else. So I wouldn't play the Dodgers run line either. Now, the Dodgers have historically, when they've won, tended to win by more than one run. So in general, if you're playing the Dodgers, you want to play run line, that's fine. I'm just saying the run line price is also overpriced. The alternate run line price, overpriced. And you say, well, maybe I'll parlay them with something. If you've been with me for any time, you've heard me say this. If not, make sure you catch this. A pick by itself that's not a smart pick is not a smart pick in a parlay. Why is that? Because a parlay is just literally you making a bet, taking the winnings, and then putting all that money on the next one. It's just having that you've already locked it in. So you're still making the same bet. You are adding this pick on the – if you pick the Dodgers, play the Dodgers, doesn't mean the Dodgers won't win. They win according to model 62% of the time, so they probably win this game. But we're going to have a lot of these situations like this where we're saying, look, the risk is higher than the reward. And that doesn't mean something – I don't know what's going to happen in one game. What I do know is we have enough data that says over the course of an entire baseball season, these are the types of picks that lead you to lose your money. These are the types of games why people say betting on baseball is hard, because the Dodgers might win this game. They might win it just like they did on opening night, 7-1. But this type of game is going to happen across all the different teams in baseball 200 times this season. And of those 200 times, the favorite that everybody just knows is going to win 140 of them. And at minus 240 or whatever price you have to pay, you've lost money. And that's why people lose money betting baseball, because they can't lose on these favorites. And the favorites will occasionally, you don't know when, you can't see the future. So that's why we're price sensitive. So hopefully that point has been driven home here. It's Cardinals or pass. Don't put too much in the Cardinals. They're not likely to win. But if they win this 3 out of 8 times, plus 202 makes for a pretty sound investment model. So that should be plus 161. The Dodgers should be favored. They should be favored by a decent bit, but baseball is too random, too chaotic for them to be favored like this against a team with a pulse. Against a team like the A's, sure. Great price. I'd be all over the Dodgers. But in this case, not for me at least. So Cardinals are pass to wrap us up. That's all we've got here today. Again, check us out on Dub Club when we have starting pitcher changes and we have added doubleheaders, first five markets, all these goodies, tons of information over on Dub Club. We really appreciate your support. If you're with us over there, that QR code will get you started out, or the link in the show description, with a 10-day free trial. Gives you picks when you can't watch the show, gives you a summary sheet so you can track along with the show, gives you all the summary picks in case you don't want to listen to me talk for 40 minutes. So a lot of great things over there, including our Discord chat, where we have a lot of fun, a lot of good information being disseminated over there as well. So check that out if you haven't yet. Otherwise, though, we will see y'all later. Best of luck here with your March Madness betting, with your NBA betting, with your NHL betting, NMLB betting. We've got a lot happening here. We'll see y'all later.